Skip, this is Joyce. We're ready for the meeting if you want to go ahead.
All right. Can everybody hear me from Fairbanks?
Yes.
All right. Let's ask.
Yes, this is Joyce. We're ready for the meeting if you want to go ahead.
Can you hear me? I'm supposedly unmuted.
I can hear you.
Okay. Now, can we hear? Can we hear now?
That is better.
Is that better?
I can hear you, and I can hear you.
All right. Let's go ahead and ask Jackie to. First of all, let me welcome everybody to the meeting. But let's ask Jackie to call roll at 10:04 on July 14, 2023, and let's see if we have enough of a committee to proceed.
Okay. Senator Stevens. Senator Stevens. Senator Lukey Tobin.
Present.
Representative Johnson. Representative Hannon.
Here. Present.
Member Skip Cook.
Here.
Member Connor Thomas.
Here.
Member Joyce Anderson.
Here.
Member Deb Fancher.
Here.
And member Jerry McBeth.
Here.
All right, it looks like we're all present except Senator Stevens and Representative Johnson.
I'm here. Can you hear me? This is Gary.
Oh, good. Thank you. Now we can hear you. All right, is Representative Johnson on by chance? All right. We'll go ahead and proceed. We have a quorum and enough to proceed. Is anybody else on the line? We have Jackie Yeager, our administrative assistant, is present. Is there anybody else on the line for the meeting? Hearing none, I would ask the committee members and anybody else identify themselves each time they speak for the benefit of the individuals, since we are on a teleconference and we can't see each other. So be careful to let us know who's speaking. And I don't know what that was. Today we have an agenda for the full committee, and we expect it to last no more than an hour. The agenda has been circulated, and I would ask for a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved. This is Joyce.
Okay. Is there any objection to the agenda as presented? Hearing none, we'll move to public comment. It doesn't look like we have anybody from the public to comment, but if there's anybody present, now's the time to speak up. All right. Hearing none, we will proceed with the main purpose of this meeting is caused by the untimely death of our administrator, Jerry. And at the outset, I would just like to, first of all, offer condolences to Jerry's family. There will be a reception, or sort of a reception after this meeting at 11, when members of Jerry's family and others can be present and contacted. So if anybody would like to join that, please do so. I want to comment on what happened with regard to Jerry's death. It was very unexpected. As some of you who were at our last meeting may know, Jerry did not look well, and he was in considerable discomfort. He had been for some time with back pain and other issues, to the point where he was walking with a walker. he finally arranged with the state for surgery to be performed on his back in California in mid-June. And that surgery occurred, and he recuperated there for a time, and then he returned to Anchorage on the 1st of July. Jackie was, of course, aware of his absence and his condition, and she kindly looked after him when he got back to get him settled on July 3rd, the day before the 4th. She took her own personal time to go check on Jerry, make sure that he was okay, and to help him arrange for a home health aide to come in. They got that arranged for the 4th, and that aide was to come at midday. Jackie went back early that morning just to make sure that that Jerry was okay and found him sleeping. She went back again to meet with the home health aide and help get that person oriented, and they discovered that Jerry was dead. That, of course, is a shock to Jackie in particular, as it has been to all of us, but I want to thank Jackie for being the trooper that she's been, both in her personal assistance to Jerry, her professional assistance to the committee, and the efforts that she has now taken in helping to get this meeting organized and to be present for the process of replacing Jerry. So thanks to Jackie for her good work and her good actions. And I'd also like to thank Joyce, who has been a godsend that she is in Anchorage and available to work with Jackie to get this meeting organized to keep the office running. Jackie has needed some direction in how to proceed with the calls that come into the office, with the records that need to be assembled for the new person that we hire, and so on. So thanks to Joyce for her help in that to this point. Now, we did circulate with this agenda a sort of a proposed or suggested hiring process for the administrator, and this has been based somewhat on past experience. We are fortunate that we have Joyce on board, both as a past administrator and as a past committee member who has participated in the hiring process. I know there are some thoughts about what was suggested, and Senator Stevens, I think you raised a question as to why there was not a legislative member indicated on the subcommittee to hire. There has not been traditionally, and I think for two reasons. One is that the committee is to be nonpartisan in its overall makeup, and if we put one legislator on the subcommittee, then we have the possibility of that being declared to be partisan, because that person is of a particular party. That was one consideration. Another was just the availability of legislators to serve on the committee, given their busy schedules otherwise. I know that, I know Connor Thomas had some thoughts about the process, and let's hear from him, and then we can have some discussion about Senator Stevens' concerns as well as Connor's. So, Connor, do you want to tell us what your thoughts are?
Yeah, I do. Thank you. And I want to second your comments with respect to Jackie and Joyce. I think it would have been very difficult for the committee to be where we are today without the assistance of Joyce. And, of course, Jackie's assistance with Jerry was really, way above and beyond what her obligation is with respect to the job. So I personally would like to thank them both for what they've done thus far. I'm not sure where exactly the proposed job document came from, Ethics Committee Administrator. All in all, I think it's fine. Mike, I had a couple of comments with respect to that. On the second page, there's a listing of duties, example of duties, and it says general. And then on the second page, there's an area that's titled functional areas. I'm not quite sure what the difference between the two of those are, but one of the things that occurred to me is that I think what ought to be at the very top of the list under examples of duties is the informal advice function of the job. Now, I realize that's listed under functional areas, but to me, that ought to be the first thing on the list of examples of duties, because I consider that one of the most important things that that an administrator would do. So that was my thought with respect to that. The other issue that I had to do with minimum qualifications, which is on it's listed as page 4. And it says a bachelor's degree, which I think is fine, but then it goes on to say preferably in a business-related discipline. I'm not quite sure why that's there. I guess I don't really see this job as a business-related type job. Maybe there's a good reason for that. I'm not certain. The other comments I had to do with their suggested hiring process. Under number one, it talks about minimum requirements, and it says Alaska resident. I'm not sure why that's there, and whether or not that's really a requirement that we would want to have. I mean, it's always nice, of course, to have an Alaska resident, but why limit ourselves? The other thing has to do with where we're going to advertise this. I don't know why we wouldn't use Kogel, for example, as a possibility, other than just ads in the Alaska papers. And then, most importantly, which maybe a little bit gets to the issue that Senator Stevens raised, that has to do with under number three, administrator hiring subcommittee. The last part, subcommittee will submit the name of the recommended candidate to the full committee for consideration. I think there really should be a way for the full committee to be a little more involved, not necessarily in the interviewing and that type of it, but to be kept informed about what's going on, at least with the opportunity to review or at least receive the resumes of people who are not disqualified just right off the bat for one reason or another, and maybe be kept informed along the way of what's going on with the subcommittee, who they intend to interview, and then what they ultimately are going to recommend. And one of the reasons I say that, I had some experience the last time this happened, and it was done by a subcommittee, and I felt like the rest of the committee really was unaware of what was going on, it didn't work out well. At that time, I'm not saying it would have been better if the full committee would have been kept informed, but I do think there ought to be a way for that to happen. It shouldn't just be the subcommittee showing up at the end with here's the recommendation, and by the way, you don't know anything about any of the other people that we didn't include. So those are my thoughts with respect to the documents that that came with the packet. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. I have a suggestion that might. Yeah, I felt the same way when I saw that the only time that the full committee was informed was when they were presented with one name toward the end. I thought that should be changed. What I'm thinking is that last time we had Joyce, how many applicants did we have? Like 27 or something?
Well, Skip, this is Joyce. We had 29 applicants. It's on the bottom of this page that Connor was referring to. 15 were accepted.
Right.
14 were rejected for either, incomplete minimum requirements, which was mentioned at the top of this. So we eliminated half.
Yeah, well, my thought was that, the work of the committee is a lot of, if we have that many applicants. Now, in today's climate of hiring, we may not have anywhere near that number of applicants, but it's still going to be a lot of work in just receiving, reviewing, rejecting, accepting, and evaluating all of those applicants. And that will be time-consuming. But if we took and if we had the subcommittee submit the last three or the last two, I'd prefer three, the three top candidates to circulate to the full committee the resumes and the subcommittee's thoughts on those three. And then at that point, we held a meeting of the full committee to discuss those. And then that would be before the interview process. Those would be the ones that would be for interview. And then invite anybody on the full committee that would like to attend those interviews and participate in them to do so. That might solve both the the objections of getting the full committee involved, and perhaps would then involve the legislators to a point where they didn't have to be involved in all this, the preliminary work, but were certainly involved at the point where we were deciding among the finalists. So I'll open it up for comments on that sort of a solution to this.
This is Skip. This is Jerry. And I wanted to concur with Connor's comments about the preference for people with business degrees. If you preface, it really should be a liberal arts degree for the kind of flexibility right. that is required of the administrator, but I think just a BA is fine. And then the second comment in terms of the subcommittee, well, it's kind of immaterial for me. It's a time question. The subcommittee cuts the time requirements, and then if we ask the subcommittee to report sort of after it's screened applicants on what it is found and bring the number that it is reviewed and the reasons why it is dismissed some of the applications, that's fine. But the larger the subcommittee gets, the more time it's going to be necessary. And I thought that this was a time issue to get this issue resolved within, a couple of months before the full legislative session gears up.
All right. Thanks for your suit. Let's go back to one more thing, too. The Alaska resident requirement. We hired Joyce out of Minneapolis. I'm not quite sure why that Alaska resident is. It certainly should be somebody who intends to be in Alaska to serve. But whether it needs
Skip,
to be...
Skip, this is Deb Banter, and I would say, can we use that as a priority? Because, and my thought would only be, an Alaska resident presents history. There's a lot of historical things that go with the job. And when you're talking, if something comes up regarding the permanent fund, the Alaska Native Land Claim Settlement, anything like that, it's sure nice to have history. I would say a preference, and maybe with our job pool being what it is currently, we won't be able to get one, but I certainly would prefer an Alaska resident with roots and history here.
I don't disagree with that at all. I do agree, but I'm not sure how those preferences work these days and whether we can put that as a written requirement. Joyce, do you
want to comment? Can we start and see what we get from Alaska? And then, if we just open the floodgates bigger.
Skip, this is Joyce. We do have Cynthia on the line from the personnel office. We asked her to be online today to see if she could answer any questions. I did have a question myself about Alaska resident, and Skip, I actually was here for a year before I got hired. I was here, but
okay.
I came from Minneapolis. I'm not sure why that was in there, and I noticed it in my notes from before, and when I was reading the notebook that I had put together from the last time, I actually, such as Connor, put a question mark there. So perhaps we could have Cynthia, who is online, in answer if that is something that's required, or if that's something the committee can make a decision on. I would think the committee could make the decision. And then Senator Tobin here has a comment as well, so maybe we should let her comment before Cynthia gets online.
Yeah, and sometimes I'd like to get you get back to my initial issue that you've already shared with folks.
Yes, we will get back to that. Should we dispose of this Alaska resident issue? My thought is just not to have it as a just to take it off and see what we get.
Well, this is Gary. I agree. Take it off. It's not an important issue to me. You know, I think that the issues that Connor brought up are just really great about more legal experience other than business. And Alaska residency is not particularly important to me. And then the whole issue of getting the committee more involved, those are all crucial matters, I think.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and hear about the residence requirement and dispose of that first. So if she's ready to comment. Is it Cynthia?
Hello, this is Cynthia. I'm sorry, I wasn't sure if I was cutting off the senator or not. So with the Alaska resident requirement, that is kind of, I don't want to say it's a holdback, but traditionally recruitments have always been open to state of Alaska residents first, and then the recruitment has been opened to a broader scope. However, that's not saying it has to be that way. This isn't a position that, you know, has a lot of incumbents or, you know, people that could potentially just step into. And we already know that times are changing and the recruitments are getting more complicated. So if you wanted to take the prerequisite of having an Alaska resident, you know, hiring off, you can do that. And maybe just stick in the comments instead, preference would be given to Alaska residents. But, you know, by all means, that doesn't need to be a requirement. I do just want to add one more comment, though. With some of the recruitments that we've been putting out there already, we are getting a lot of the recruitments from people that are applying from, like, China and that are just spam. So we'll have to filter those out anyway. Did you have any more specific questions?
Was that even in the situations where it specified an Alaska requirement, Alaska residence requirement?
No, we're getting those on anything. We're also getting a lot of applicants from out of state that don't even meet minimum qualifications for whatever they're applying for. So.
Okay, so. But we could state that we could, instead of saying, we could say preference will be given to Alaska, and that might sort it out to some degree.
Correct. So if you had plenty of applicants that are from Alaska that meet your qualifications, they have preference over somebody that's applying from out of state that would meet the qualifications.
Okay. All right. I think that would be, I can see both arguments, but I can see if we put it as an absolute requirement and didn't get anybody from Alaska, then we might have to go out and re-advertise again to open it up to others. So I think I would prefer just having a preference for Alaska residents.
Okay.
Is that?
Yes, because it's Joyce. Well, the other side of this, as Joyce mentioned, is you have the ability to take the requirement off, and if you still need to recruit more, you can extend the recruitment period past whatever the initial time is.
Right. Well, I would think that if we take it off altogether, we're apt to start getting all these from China and everywhere else. If we put the preference, that Alaska's residents will be given a preference, I would think that might cut that down and yet not totally eliminate the possibility of others. Now, Connor had suggested we post this through COGL, which is the Council on Legislative Ethics Laws.
I would recommend that as well.
So that would tend to bring in applications from outside of Alaska, but they would likely be from people who've had some government experience and are paying attention to COGL's communications.
I think that's a wonderful idea. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to go back to Deb and say, Deb, what would you think about saying that preference will be given to Alaska residents?
I think preference is good, and I think COGL is a great place to advertise. But I still like, if we have somebody that's qualified that knows some Alaska legislative, just kind of the history, it's a lot better than getting somebody from, you know, North Dakota that doesn't have a clue.
Right. Now, and certainly the committee in our screening and in our narrowing it down can take that into account, I would think. And in our final, we can take that account into account without stating that it's an absolute requirement at the outset.
No, yeah. A preference, though. I would definitely, if you've got two equally qualified candidates, my push would go to the person that has made their home, spent their money, and been in Alaska for at least some period of time.
Right. All right. Is there any objection to that, then, to making that the in the minimum requirements, we say that a preference will be given to Alaska residents? All right. Now, back to Senator Tobin, Joyce had said you had a comment, and then we'll go back to Stevens' comments.
I do. Thank you, Skip. This is Lukey Tobin for the record. I have a question regarding the line on page 7 that references reference list. And I'm just curious about the types of reference, the number of references, how should folks expect to provide that information? Additionally, I'm curious, as one of the things I've notice that's listed, that is not listed under minimum requirements, is background check. I know as we do evaluations of potential commissioners or appointees to different boards for the state of Alaska, we do a robust background check to ensure that folks don't have outstanding criminal activities or fines that have gone unaddressed or might have things in their past that would prohibit them from being good representatives.
And, Skip, if I could interject, we did do a background check. It's just not listed on there, and I think it'd be a good idea to put it on there. So that was.
And what about the references? Have you, in the minimum requirements, we're not listing that references are required.
This is Cynthia from Personnel. I'd like to comment on the references. Yeah. So within regards to individuals supplying references, there's numerous ways that you can go about this. One comment that is frequent in the application process is please provide a list of either professional references, personal references, etc. You can say, you know, from the last 3 years or from your current employer, so you're not getting someone with 20 years of work experience, 9 bosses, and you know, the references are all 20 years old. This is something that we can, you know, narrow down based on what you decide you would like to do. In regards to recruitment, the applicants don't necessarily have to apply through Workplace Alaska. We have the ability to say you can submit your resume to the personnel office or specifically to Jackie with the ethics committee so that they don't have to apply through Workplace Alaska, and then just make it as part of recruitment or part of the application to include a list of references.
All right.
This is Representative Pant, and when it's my time, please.
Pardon, I missed that.
Representative Hannon, I'd like to be in the queue to speak.
Oh, okay. Good. With regards to references, I would suggest that the committee work, the subcommittee that we appoint, work with Cynthia to include appropriate reference language as a requirement, and a background check as certainly as a requirement. All right, and then let's go back to Senator Stevens with regard to his thoughts about the makeup of the subcommittee.
Yeah, Skip, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Jerry Stevens here. First I have to say, Jerry was just tremendous to work with. If he didn't answer the phone, he called me back immediately. There are always questions and concerns, and he was so responsive and such a good common sense, and just really a shame that he passed away. But as to the hiring subcommittee, I'd just like to reference that. I've been on this Ethics Committee off and on for 23 years. And though we had some great members, some really great, everyone online, great members from the public, I do think often I have seen a misunderstanding of the legislative process, a misunderstanding of what it means to be elected legislator. And so when I don't think it's a matter of partisanship. I would certainly, after bringing this issue up, I would not put my name in to be on that committee. So there are others that certainly would do a great job. I don't think we're any more partisan than the public members are. And it's a shame not to include legislators in that. There is a recommendation on the page, is not, no, I guess page 4, it says, the suggestion is to go to 3 public members with Jackie providing assistance. If we do that, and even if we don't do that, I do think that one of those members should be a legislator. And they will bring a realization of what it means to be an elected public official. That's my recommendation.
So you're recommending a three member committee with one being a legislator?
Right. 2 public, 1 legislator.
Okay. Now let's move to Representative Hanna and to comment on that or whatever else you had in mind.
I'm going to stay off of the committee number and makeup itself. I'm going to turn my comments back to the description we're using and the expectation of who we are receiving applications from. And I guess I want to caution us, although we, as the Ethics Committee, are used to wordsmithing everything in a decision collectively, I think in the hiring process, we should probably turn to legislative affairs personnel, i.e. Cynthia, for a bit more guidance on how we structure it. I think her hearing articulates that we want an Alaska preference preferred. But there are some things in a background check. For instance, I assume Leg Affairs is used to doing a standard criminal background check, but I am more concerned in our description. We ask that this applicant have not basically been apolitical, not contributed, not participated in campaigns, and that's a different kind of a check, both of APOC records and federal records. And I'm concerned that we make sure that if that's who we want, that we put that into our hiring process and asking personnel to sort of structure the advertisement and notification of that and guiding us as to how we get that kind of background checked. Additionally, I think we get a best effort our first time out advertising it and advertising it as broadly as possible to COVO as an association, but I also think we need to be looking at some digital and social media advertising that's not articulated by just saying newspaper ads. Thirdly, I have a concern the range and step that we're advertising that job ad does not indicate any background in law. I guess I was surprised to find out in this minimum description that
a bachelor's degree is all that was required, because I certainly think that Jerry used his lawyer hat most days. And trying to encourage that as a background, and I am curious as to whether Jerry was considered an attorney in our legislative pay schedule, or if he simply was a class range 22. So those are my comments and thoughts at this moment.
All right. Thank you. Good thoughts. And I certainly think that working with Cynthia to make sure that we've covered all the hiring requirement bases is a good idea, and it sounds like she's available to do that, so that's wonderful. All right.
Skip, this is Joyce, if I may comment.
Yes.
So I just wanted to point out that I did not have a law degree. I did have a master's in public administration. My background included an apolitical job, which was director of elections and voter registration for the city of Minneapolis. And so I did have a background in interpreting statutes, testifying before the legislature in Minnesota, and so forth. So I think possibly, you know, a law degree is definitely a benefit. And Jerry was hired based on the qualifications for this job and not being I was on that committee, and not specifically because of his law degree. So I would hate to see the position just strictly be offered to individuals who had a law degree, because I think there are other individuals out there, and I would include myself in that, that definitely had the background that could come into this job and know different things. When there was something regarding law that I was unfamiliar with, I, you know, checked either with the committee, or we have an outside attorney that we have on contract, Brent Cole, who you're all aware of. So, I mean, there is an avenue for that to, for that answer to be, or for that question to have a response or an answer to. So I just wanted to point that out. Thank you.
Right. No, I agree that it should not be a requirement. It may be something the committee considers in the review, but I don't think that should be a requirement. Let's go back to the makeup of the subcommittee. Senator Stevens, I appreciate your comments, followed by that fact that you're not available. I'm wondering if we have legislative members who would be available to serve on the subcommittee if we include a legislative member. So let me ask our legislative folks. We got Senator Tobin, and I think we have did Representative Johnson ever come online?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you're right. So we have three. I appreciate your thoughts on willingness to serve on this committee. It is going to be time consuming in the near future.
Gary, and I just want to say that, you know, there are lots of folks who've had experience with ethics who are legislators, actually alternate members who worked for years in ethics. So there are lots of folks beyond the, I think, the four of us, and it'd be great if any of the four are willing to do that. I know it is time-consuming, but I think it's important that we have some legislators involved in the process.
Skip, this is Joyce again.
I would like to echo. Sorry, Lynn.
Go ahead, whoever was next.
I'll go ahead, Skip. This is Joyce. My concern is by having one legislator on the committee, that the committee has more of a partisan feel to it. The reason the Ethics Committee was set up is to have, you know, like two senators, two representatives, one from each party, and so forth. So I would throw that out for discussion as to whether it looks like the committee is more putting a legislator on the subcommittee and having it look like there's only one party represented, and we're in a political climate right now where that seems to be out there. So I'm throwing it out for discussion.
Okay. Another alternative would be to expand the committee to 5 members and have three public and 2 legislative. But then you're getting a fairly big committee, and that might get cumbersome. That's what I worry about there.
Skip, this is Deb Banter. I think that the only way you can do that, the only way you can put somebody from the legislature on it is if you do what you're saying, is go with a group of 5. It will be more cumbersome, but at the end of the day, I think appearances really matter, and we don't want to have that. I agree that nobody is going to be biased, that the experience, and I think it's important that our representatives have a voice, but I think the only way you can do that without the appearance of anything being what it's not, the only way we can do it is by having a committee of 5, which I'm totally okay with.
Other thoughts on that?
Skip, this is Jerry McBeth, and I agree with Deb that it's, you know, one of the nice things about the job that Jerry did was he constantly stressed, you know, the factor of the appearance of impropriety, starting with the members of the public members of the committee, and full disclosure. And so, you know, I think that the members of the committee have their personal preferences and political preferences, and there's no way getting around that while we have public members. And we ought to balance it off to the extent possible by having a couple of legislators, but in that respect, because they define themselves by political party with one or two exceptions, and we need a Republican and a Democrat.
Let me go back to seeing if our legislative members are available to serve on the committee. The other suggestion I had was, you know, that we bring legislators in toward the end after all the sort of scut work has been done of gathering and evaluating and bring it down to the you know, the best number. But if we want to expand the committee, I need to know that some legislators are available to serve. So let me ask that of Senator Tobin and Representatives Johnson and Hanna. Your thoughts on serving on the committee?
Hi there. This is Representative Johnson, and you know I'd be willing to serve. But I agree with needing to have 2 members. I think that would be fine to come in later, but I don't have a strong opinion about that. I think what the Senate President said, you know, it doesn't have to be our members of our Ethics Committee, you know, not necessarily, but I would like to say that I'm available if it needs to.
All right, Representative Hannah, yes,
I actually have a very busy fall and would not anticipate being available, so I'm hesitant to weigh in on that. And I think my concerns for the committee's makeup will be met by the whole committee having a discussion before final interviews were done, because there is sort of a first level in that, and since I wasn't willing to serve, I wasn't willing to push that issue, but I'd be happy to see Representative Johnson on that committee.
Senator Tobin, what are your thoughts?
Thank you. This is Lukey Tobin for the record. I, too, am in a similar boat to Representative Hannon. I have a quite a bitty busy fall planned for myself. Additionally, I'm taking 2 graduate level courses, and I hate to bite off more than I can chew and show up timely and efficiently to help the committee do its work.
Skip, this is Jerry. Joyce. If I could just comment too, I think I heard you say this, but possibly just the three public members on the subcommittee could go through, let's just use the 29 applicants from before. Let's say there's 29 applicants, the subcommittee could go through them, make sure that all the qualifications are met and so forth, and then come up with the ones that do meet the qualifications. And then at that point, because that's a process in itself that I'm not sure, you know, it's just sort of a ruling out. I mean, that there's no ifs, ands, or buts there. It's just yes or no. So maybe the public members could do that and rule that out and then come down with the actual list of qualified candidates and then have input from, let's say we do have two members of the legislature, maybe one of them could be one of the alternates yet, on the subcommittee, and then get to that point, and then that would save some time as well. Is that what you suggested? I thought I heard that.
Well, that's kind of what I suggested, although I didn't suggest that we select two and appoint them at that point, but that would not be a bad idea either. Go to the point of narrowing it down to a certain number of candidates or a certain point in the process, and then expanding the committee by two legislators to go through the final process of selection.
I think that I do think that would be a better way to go, and being that legislators have a lot of commitments, and not that the public members don't as well, but they have probably a few more than we do, so I'm in favor of that.
This is Gary. I think that's a reasonable solution. You know, I sort of hate to see us say there has to be one Democrat or Republican. I mean, we may not have. I appreciate the fact that Delaney is willing to do this. I would suggest there are others who are alternates who would be willing to do it, too. So I think that's a reasonable solution, that the public members whittle it down to a reasonable amount, and then we bring in the legislators in to further input. I like that approach.
I think that'll work well. Give us some time to consider availability, and yet get the process started right away. Then I guess the question is kind of at what point do we bring the legislators in, and when it's narrowed down to a certain number of top candidates, and if so, what number do we want to use there?
This is Gary. I think we can leave that up to the subcommittee to make that decision.
Okay. Yeah, I would say, you know, it could be five, it could be three, it could be whatever. But let's at least see if there's any objection then to proceeding in that fashion. We appoint a subcommittee of three to solicit and receive and review applications. And when it gets down to a point of final selection, that we expand the committee to include two legislators in that process, which would include the interview process. And also, I would say that any of our committee members who weren't officially on the committee that wanted to attend the interviews would be welcome to. Is there any objection to that, to proceeding on that basis?
Well, Skip, this is Connor. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
My understanding, what we talked about earlier, before we got into the discussion with respect to the legislators, was that when you got down to the last three, for example, that was going to come before the full committee. I mean, are you still talking about doing it that way?
Yes, I wouldn't have any objection if it was. I don't want to put too big a number out before the full committee, but if we had, you know, three or five of the last ones, you would certainly include the legislators. You know, they need to be informed that way. But we, you know, I could still officially appoint two legislative members to the committee. But if there's no objection, we can circulate those last bumps to the full committee also.
This is Rep. Johnson. I just want
to be involved, at least towards the end before there's just one name submitted.
Right.
So this is Representative Johnson, if I could make a comment on that.
Sure.
So in my experience of, you know, making a kind of a broad brush hiring and winnowing it down, I mean, you go, of course, from these large numbers of people that don't, you know, have no possibility of making the cut. So it's going to come, it's going to funnel down to a smaller number fairly quickly, I would think. I would think after it gets to the first cut is when you would get the legislator involved. Because so you might get it down to, say, I don't know, 15 people that are qualified and then getting it down to 3 to 5, it goes to the full committee.
Okay. That makes sense too. So Once we have narrowed it down to qualified applicants who are worthy of being considered, that then we add the legislators at that point, and then let them narrow it down to, say, 3, at which time those would be circulated to the full committee.
That seems like that would make sense. I mean, that seems like a good process to me.
Skip, this is Joyce again.
Yes.
Let me just go over a little bit more about what we did the last time. There were 29 applicants, and like I said, 15 were qualified. What the subcommittee did was they selected 10 applicants, and they did a phone interview with those. And then out of the phone interview, they went and picked the top 3 to 5 applicants. So they didn't interview, they did the phone interview to get more information or, you know, there were a bunch of questions and I don't have them right in front of me, but, you know, they could be a sort of a draft or whatever. But so after the phone interview, then they picked the 3 to 5. So maybe if the legislators want to be involved in, let's say, the top 10 in the phone interviews, they could do that, which gives, you know, a little bit more to versus the 3-member to a 5-member and gives them more involvement. And then at that point, pick the top 3 to 5 and refer those to the full committee. How does that sound?
I think that's where we're kind of what is being suggested. I think that sounds good. Is there any objection to proceeding along those lines then? We may not have 10, but at the point where we're ready, see, you had those, well, you got 10 after the phone interviews, right? Joyce?
Skip, would you ask that again? I didn't quite understand.
You said you, after your phone interviews left you with 10 qualified applicants, is that right? And then you began to winnow those down for personal interviews, and you had a lesser number of personal interviews.
Yes, we did. And then also at the same time, for the top 3 to 5, just for information for everyone, we did what we called a writing test. We sent them an email with a question that needed to be answered, and it had to be answered within 30 minutes. And we told them what needed to be included in that, you know, like an analysis and a conclusion and so forth. And those were also evaluated. So not only was there an interview, there was a writing test, which I thought was rather interesting because it put the person saying, you know, can you, you know, analyze this within a short period of time, and what was your response and how were the writing skills and so forth and so on. So it brought up quite a few things. So yes, I agree, but I did want to add the writing test in there as well.
All right. So what we're talking about is the 3-member committee winnowing it down through review and phone interviews to a number such as 10 that would then be further considered. At that point, we bring in the legislators, and they review those and participate in deciding which ones are going to have personal interviews, and in those personal interviews, once they've narrowed it down to the top 3 to 5, then the full committee receives those for comment to the committee,
to the subcommittee, which, of course, includes two legislators at that point. Is there any objection to that procedure?
I have a question, Skip. This is Jerry Macbeth.
Yes.
The question is whether if we're talking about the subcommittees doing the phone interviews, so far what you've said is phone interviews with the candidate and not with the references. And so, you know, there'd have to be some discussion and evaluation about which is more useful in the hiring process, talking to the applicants, or getting information about them from their references, who will say different things over the phone than they will on paper, and third, the writing samples that I mentioned.
Well, I'm assuming that those telephone interviews to answer questions might have been to the candidates themselves, or they could have been to references. Am I right, Joyce?
Yes.
That part could the telephone interviews could include either the candidates just to fill in information that they didn't provide in a written submission, or to clarify things with them. So that would all be done by the three-person committee in preparation for eliminating down to a lower number. So. Any other comments on that?
This is Cynthia from the personnel office.
Yes.
Hi. I am just wanting to understand or make sure that I'm understanding. You're going to have the subcommittee after they've pulled out the non-interviewees. Were you going to then schedule the telephonic interview, have them do the written analysis, and then do the reference checks on all of those applicants?
Skip.
And then forward the information?
The reference checks, yeah, all that would be done by the three-member committee up to the point where they've got a lesser number, say, out of 29, maybe down to 10, or maybe a third, down to two-thirds have been eliminated, and we've got a number of candidates who they're ready to consider further as to which ones out of that batch they want to actually have personal interviews with and consider as finalists. So the legislative members would come in at that point and have that perhaps a third of the applicants who are ready to be considered as possibilities for personal interviews and so on.
And Skip, okay. This is Joyce. If I could just interject just quick for a moment. The writing test was actually only for the 3 to 5 candidates, not for all the 10 that we did the phone interviews with. If you wanted to do the writing test with those 10, you know, that's certainly what the committee wants to do. That's fine. But the last time the writing test was just with the final 3 to 5.
Well, I think the subcommittee could, once you've gotten them down to that point, the subcommittee could decide how they want to proceed further, whether they wanted to include that writing component or not, or just, how the interviews were going to be structured and so on. That would be the expanded committee that would do that with regard to that last batch. And when you got down to the very final ones that we're going to have the personal interviews with, those would all be put before the full committee, which would probably be 3 to 5. Any further thoughts? Does that appear to be a reasonable way to proceed? If there's no objection, I'm going to say as we will proceed on that basis. And for the public members of the committee, I would appoint Deb Fancher and Jerry Macbeth to work with Joyce as the chair of that committee. And I would be an ex officio member, not necessarily participating fully, but if there's a need for somebody that needs a sub or whatever, then I could be contacted and so on. Is there any objection to the subcommittee starting out with those three public members, and then along the way I will be prepared to appoint two legislative members when we get to that point in the process?
Skip, this is Gary. Thanks for working your way through this. It's I know it's complicated. We have a great committee here, and we managed to find a resolution to all my concerns, and I believe all of Connor's concerns as well. So thanks for a job well done.
All right. It's 11 o'clock, and it's time to adjourn to the sort of reception that's going to be held. Is there any further comments or questions to come before the committee at this point? If not,
this is Rep. Hannon.
Yes.
What is our expected timeline for job advertisement? We didn't actually talk about that.
I think it's as soon as possible. Joyce, do you have an anticipation of what it might take, or Cynthia, or the two of you together?
Skip, this is Joyce. I think we could get that job notice out next week. Jackie, you in agreement with that? Yeah, she's shaking her head. Cynthia might want to comment, but I know I had talked to the office before, and they suggested the minimum that they usually do is 10 days, but they suggested a month. So I'm going to throw that out for the committee and see if Cynthia has any comments, but we want to leave it out there for a month. That was the general recommendation from personnel when I talked to them before.
This is Cynthia from personnel, and the reason I would recommend a month is when we're recruiting for an attorney or any of the other section heads, the recruitment's generally for a month, and extended if we don't get sufficient applicant pools. But I would agree with Joyce. We should be able to get the recruitment pulled together, reviewed, and up for hopeful applicants next week. I would like to add that if the subcommittee wanted to review the applicant or the application before it goes live, that's something that can be discussed. Or if it's just going to be Joyce and Jackie, that's fine too. Also, we just need to know where to recruit. That is perfectly fine. Anywhere you have as an idea is fabulous. Thank you.
All right. I definitely think 10 days is far too short. I would comment that although Jerry's death was certainly untimely in terms of his lifespan and expectations, that it was somewhat timely in the sense that we don't have a lot of business before the committee right now that makes us want to rush through this process. I think we want to be thorough, and 30 days is much preferable to 10 days. So.
Who do you want to go first? Flip a coin. I can't see her. My only question, it's probably a Cynthia question, but I would implore all of us, and I don't know how calling goes through social media, but there have been some major social media snafus as of late, and so you can write that as part of the recruitment process. Can we look through social media? But we want to get someone that's very qualified, that's going to be around a while, and not have egg on our face.
This is Cynthia. Sorry. I was just going to add that normally we do try and review social media accounts that we can identify as part of the recruitment process, as an unofficial part of the reference checks. So, yeah.
Oh, good. All right. Well, we'll certainly rely on Cynthia's expertise and Joyce's experience and all of our good sense in trying to reach out as fully as possible, but also to screen as fully as possible. So
this is Representative Johnson. I just wanted to request or add one possibility as we move through the process. And
depending on how long it takes, and, you know, I like the idea of doing the month long. It gives opportunity for different, you know, kind of the word to get out, and, you know, just, you know, it seems like it makes a lot more sense. But if as we go through the process where we meet a major milestone, say, like the closing of the application process and an update on how many applications come in and so on, I would just request that we as legislators, but as really as the whole committee get an update in the process. Like, okay, we've closed, we've received our final applications, we've received X number, so on. And our first, I'm just making this up, but as, you know, our first meeting of our, you know, our limited committee will be meeting on so-and-so to review the first, you know, whatever it is, you know, 30 applicants. And because I appreciate what Representative Hannah said about the timeline, but I think just knowing that we're on the timeline, so if we get asked, hey, where are you guys at? Are we, you know, I think there's ethics things pending. Are you guys even close to getting to anything? You can say, well, you know, it looks like we're in the process. We have, you know, we have a little ways to go, whatever we might say.
Thank you. That's a good suggestion. And Joyce, I would sort of instruct the subcommittee to report when the notice goes out. Let the full committee know that it's gone out. When the application process time comes to a close, to notify the full committee as to how many were received and so on. Then just periodically keep the full committee informed. Is that any kind of a problem, Joyce?
No, that's not. I was also thinking at some point I could just send out a weekly notice saying, here's where we're at, how many have been received, and there's still this many days left until it closes and so forth. I'll just be sending out periodic updates on the process and numbers and so forth. I think that's very important.
Good. Thank you. And as most of you know, Joyce's attention to detail will make that happen. So, all right.
This is Representative Cannon.
Yes.
All right. So I have two concerns of just making sure that we have built into the process not just social media but a campaign donations. And I guess I'm a little unclear on the characteristics of this person's involvement with campaigns. It's very explicit as to they may not, including attend events or donate, but it doesn't, I'm not sure if it's retroactive. So, but I think we need to have a measure of both APOC review of candidates, successful candidates, and a federal donation because it speaks to that also. Secondly, places to advertise. I think that we should make sure that besides just the Ethics Professional Association, that the National Council of State Legislatures, whose annual conference is in August, that we advertise it, have it there, make sure it's out by the time NCSL meets. The Council of State Governments is the other organization that I think we should make sure it's in the hopper for. And my last piece is I think that a month is a minimum to advertise this as it's summer in Alaska. And I guess I would not be at all have heartburn with us waiting till after Labor Day. I just think that in Alaska, there are people that, you know, it's hard to pay attention in the summer. So I think the month is the minimum advertisement, and that's all.
All right, thank you. We'll let the subcommittee and Cynthia take all that into account, and certainly I agree that those NCSL and as well as COGO may be good places to spread the word about this position. Anything else? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn and thank everybody for their participation today.
Skip, this is Joyce. We do have one other item on the agenda. It says a plan of action pending the hire of the committee administrator. And I guess I would just like to say the conversations between you and I, you are You are chair of the full committee. I am chair of the House subcommittee, so we're kind of, I'll be chair next year. But Skip, and correct me if I'm wrong, you and I have talked about just working with Jackie, and the two of us will provide input to any questions that come in, any email and so forth, and definitely provide responses to anything that needs to be addressed at this time, things that can be on hold. You know, I can't think of anything at this point, but most of the stuff that comes in are questions that need to be answered right away. So I think that would be our plan of action. And Skip, if you're not, if you've got something else to add, I just wanted to let the committee know that you and I had talked about that.
Right, and I've talked to Jackie about the fact that she should not hesitate to tell people that we're not in a position to answer a complex question at this point because we're between the administrators, but we're going to take information down and pass that on, and it'll be answered as soon as possible. Jackie's will continue on with her duties. I have authorized her to work up to 40 hours per week. I sent a letter in to that effect. As needed during this period of time. Normally, Jackie's work week has been 22 and a half hours, but on an as-needed basis, it can go up to 40 hours while we work our way through this because staff assistance is going to be important. All right. Anything else?
I move we adjourn. No, this is Joyce.
Okay. Any objection to adjourning? And if we need to call a full committee meeting during this process, we'll certainly do so. So thank you, everybody, today, and we'll be adjourned for now.
It's 11:18. Thank you.
Right.